Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We are in the midst of this last day of the heat wave here in New York. It's going to be a little bit cooler starting tomorrow. Last night at Citi Field, the first pitch temperature was the hottest ever in the history of Citi Field. It opened, of course, in 2009 at 98 degrees.
I mean, it's not like it opened in 1905.
No, yeah, but 2009 still, what, 16 years ago?
All right.
Well, no, I just thought it was interesting.
If you would have told me it was the hottest day the Mets have ever played in New York City, either at Chase Stadium or Citi Field, then that would mean something to me.
Yeah.
If it's in the last 16 years, it doesn't mean anything.
Well, no, it's just a record now.
So it's 98 degrees.
Now it's a
record. They're complaining when it was cold. Now they're complaining it's just hot.
No, I'm just, hey, you just did a whole thing about how it sounds good to you. Utah was 60-something degrees.
It did.
I didn't go, you complain about something, baby, it's good. I didn't do that to you. I'm just mentioning we're in the heat. That's just people are experiencing it. No one's complaining about it. I'm just saying it was the hottest first pitch, and I was going to make a stupid sports analogy going into the Mets started hot, but ended cold, and they stink. And they're continuing to lose, and the Braves own them. And if they don't figure this out and then get swept by the Braves, all seven games that they played them here, that is going to be a massive problem. And that's a DEFCON 5 moment where Steve Cohen's going to have to himself go into that clubhouse and tell these guys to pick it up. I mean, we are at that Carlos Mendoza, throw a chair. You want him to throw a chair. I want him maybe a meeting. We need a slump buster. We need something. I don't know what you do. But we are getting close to that DEFCON 5 moment.
I think they already are. I think they're already right in the middle of it.
You can't be at DEFCON 5 when you're 12 games over 500 and you're game and a half out of first.
Yeah, but at one point in time, they were, what, 24 games over 500? 21 it was.
Yeah.
I would just say that if this was September, maybe that would be DEFCON 5 if they were going through this in September. It's better it's now that they're going through it. But still, you got to stop it. And, you know, the best thing to do is, you got to win this game tonight. Yeah, you have to win this game tonight. I'm not going to even talk about tomorrow's game. I'm just talking about tonight's game. And it's got to be apparent to everybody in that clubhouse that they've got to play better in every aspect of the sport. You know, whether the ball's going off of Lindor's glove or Pete's throwing it high to have a pitcher pull a hamstring or, you know, somebody striking out with the bases loaded late in the game where a one hit gets you the lead or a relief pitcher comes in and, you know, doesn't walk three batters in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a little bit of everything going throughout the entire lineup. You know, you win as a team, you just lose as a team. And I think Francisco Lindor has said that consistently for 2 years. He said it last year before the run in the second half of the season. He said it this year when they were winning. So he's been consistent in recognizing that, you know, it's not just him, it's the entire team. So he deflects all the praise he gets when he hits a couple home runs or sets the table, and he always talks about his teammates. And that is a true leader.
And this is the first favorable pitching matchup that the Mets have on paper, and I feel like a week, as they've got Clay Holmes going against Didier Fuentes, who is making his second career start. Which was going to be my name originally until they switched it to Greg. I was going to be a Didier Giannotto.
Well, Didier, you know how it goes with the Mets and the Yankees. If there's a pitcher they haven't seen.
Oh, God.
You know how that goes.
Yeah, but his first start was miserable.
All right, so.
I mean, he's got seven ERA or whatever the hell he was in that first start. What did he do? He went five innings, six hits, four earned runs against somebody. But yeah, so this is the first on paper, and they called him up on June 20th. He made one start, he stunk, and now the Mets see him tonight and hopefully can get one against the Braves here with Clay Holmes pitching well. And it's also scary that this losing streak is now, like, bled into Citi Field.
Like, you were thinking, okay, on the road, tough, but they're so great at Citi Field, they're going to come home and they're going to be great. Nope. First two games back on the homestand, losses.
You know, last night, I don't know, there's probably other games that I can think of, but last night, just watching this, and once they gave up the lead, it was almost like, we're not going to get it back. It was the first time I felt that way.
Yeah. You know what? I'm learning something here today from Bill in Bergen County.
Level three.
Hey, turn it off.
Guys, turn it off. I'm surprised Eddie didn't tell you this, but DEFCON 5 is the lowest level of DEFCON. Yeah, you got it backwards.
You know what? You're right. Bill, I apologize. Should have known that.
You a military man there, Bill?
Nah, my father was, and I just like those type of movies. And it was the first thing I heard you guys talking about this morning.
It was definitely me. It was me. I'm taking responsibility for not having the DEFCONs right. I thought DEFCON went
up. All right, well.
So, listen, I learned something, Bill.
So, what are we at, DEFCON 3 then?
Yeah. Yeah, DEFCON 3.
Yeah, I think we're always in DEFCON 3, basically.
Yeah, okay. So, but what about the Mets, who you would think?
The Mets? Nah, they're going to come around. Look what they did last year. I think they're going to be fine. Hopefully the pitching gets healthier. They should be all right. Look at what Soto's done. Everyone was all over him at the beginning of the year. He's doing great now.
But if you think the Mets are going to be fine, do you think they're in DEFCON 5?
No, they're definitely at least DEFCON 3.
All right, DEFCON 3.
Okay.
All right, very good.
Also, we got our DEFCONs right. We got a floating elbow.
Loose bodies, DEFCON. All right, so this here you go, ready? DEFCON 5, fade out. Exercise team, fade out. Readiness, normal. Lowest state. DEFCON 1, exercise term. Cocked pistol. Maximum readiness. War imminent is DEFCON 1.
That's DEFCON 1?
That's what it says here.
Oof.
And then DEFCON 2, exercise term, fast pace, readiness, armed forces, 6 hours or less to deploy and engage, near war. And DEFCON 3, the exercise term is roundhouse. Air Force, 15 minutes to mobilization, force readiness increased above normal levels. Yeah, we're DEFCON 3 with the Mets.
All right.
DEFCON 3. Yeah, I would think so. Are we higher DEFCON for the Yankees or lower DEFCON?
I think we're about the same.
Same DEFCON.
Because I feel like the teams have been playing the same.
Yeah, true. I mean, Mets a little worse, actually, but still bad.
Yeah, let's go to Joe in the Bronx. Joe, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking a call.
All right.
So, I was at Fanatics Fest last Friday and met Phil Simms.
That must have been
and
exciting.
And I asked him. Yes, it was very exciting. He's got big hands, I'll tell you. I asked him if he was going to do a regular spot on your show, and he said he was, but then he said he's coming after you guys.
He's coming after us.
What he said.
Wow.
Oh,
that's
wow.
What he said.
All right. Well, I'll be ready with my cocked pistol. Listen, Phil talks a mean game, Joe, and we appreciate the heads up on that. And, a lot of bark, not a lot of bite with Phil.
How about him talking trash about us at Fanatics Fest?
Yeah. And he was just asking, are you going to be on with Boomer and Geo, you know, next year in a weekly spot? And he decides to say, I'm coming after them. Like, not like, yeah, I was really happy to be on with them so we could promote balance of nature. And,
right, those guys made room for me.
Yeah, you know, and kept me relevant when in a world where I was disappearing. And he instead says that, hey,
I'm coming after those guys. Tell those guys I'm coming after them.
Yeah, okay.
That's not nice.
Why don't you just, you know.
That's not nice.
Just suck down a couple wild blueberries and zip it, huh? Telling these guys coming after us.
Well, I think he's getting more into the animal kingdom.
That's what he's doing now?
Yeah, he's leaving football behind and getting more into...
Can't you see? I just had this vision. You know, like, who was that guy, Dr. Hanna or something? He used to bring all the animals on.
Yeah.
David Letterman and stuff. Like, can't you see...
Jack Hanna.
So can't you see Phil in like the safari hat and like the beige button up and the pants? Like, bring it's like, all right, here we go. Here's a chinchilla. It's like he's bringing it off like Stephen Colbert. You can hold this thing. He's a little furry guy. That's what Phil turns into.
Be perfect.
He's like, all right, now, hey, Christopher, why don't you bring out that boa constrictor now? Well, this guy, you don't want him getting to the coast on you. He'll suck the life out of you.
Have you seen his new Balance of Nature commercials? They're good.
I did not. No, yeah. I haven't seen the new one. I've seen the old one about 7 million times.
No, they got the new one out there now.
Okay.
They got them throwing footballs.
He's Super Bowl champion turned into animal lover and zoologist Phil Sims, everybody. Welcome, Phil Sims. What do you got there, Phil?
Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to bring out this water buffalo. Come on.
That's right. That's right. Here he is. Oh, whoa, fella. Whoa. Ooh, ooh.
There you go. I kind of feel like, you know, when he grew up, I felt like he grew up on a farm. I think he grew up on a farm.
Of course he did.
He had those man farm hands.
I think 100%.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I do it.
Yeah, I feel like he was shoeing donkeys.
Yeah, he's definitely touched more udders than the average man. There's no two ways about it. He's
great. Yeah, he's definitely got udder hands.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. He's coming after us.
Well, bringing out a chameleon now. And what's great about them is they've got their own disguise system built right into their skin, Steven. You put him on the desk, he's going to turn the color of your desk.
Oh, no, where'd he go?
This might be one of those things that only I find funny, but in my head, Phil Sims being Jack Hanna on a late night show with his safari hat and his zoologist dress.
Oh, it'd be great.
Oh, my God. It's just cracking me up. Comes out all stiff from behind the curtain. Okay, here we go. Happy to be here again.
All stiff. Man,
like and subscribe my YouTube channel. Football and Furry Friends with Phil. And that's Furry Friends with a PH.
From Franklin Lakes, New Jersey.
Tom's on Long Island. Right, hold on. Sorry. Wrong guy. Tom's on Long Island. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Did you guys hear that Joe got another hole in one? He's got 4 in his career.
Yeah, I you know what? I did hear this. So he announced it on Saturday, and I wasn't listening at the time. We were out in Montauk, and I got a bunch of text messages saying that Joe got another hole in one. And I was like, that's either his 3rd or 4th. And he put up on Instagram that it was indeed his 4th hole in one. One of which he had with a driver on a par 3, by the way. But yeah, let me try to find.
Again, how many times do I tell you? It doesn't matter the club you hit.
No, but I'm saying it's
you got time out.
It's harder to get a driver in a hole with the way that it bounces on the greens and the way that you hit it than it would be a pitching wedge. And
he's,
you know,
not
that's why I'm saying
DeChambeau. He's hitting a driver because he has to hit the ball 180 yards.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you is that I'm telling you, you are getting a reputation out there within the golf world.
So it was at West Point. So, and thanks, yeah, Tom. Yeah. So, yeah, it was on June 20th, which was that Friday, his 4th. Oh, my God. I just looked at this. Hole, W-H-O-L-E.
Say that again.
Say that again now. What happened with your daughter who hates you now? What is this?
They put 4th hole, W-H-O-L-E, in one.
Okay. Well, who did that?
Definitely did not that. Him.
Okay.
But nice. it's in a graphic. It's not. It wasn't typed wrong. It's actually in a graphic for the picture. In fact, I had to actually just Google. Maybe I've been thinking it was wrong the whole time, like H-O-L-E. I was like, maybe that's...
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. West Point, 2nd hole, and it just says par. It doesn't say par 3. It should say par 3.
Second hole. Can you fix this, Tar? I mean, come on. You should know this already. It's not a hole in one, like the whole thing. Or it's like a hole, like a hole, like a hole in your head. That's what it is.
Well, yeah, so good for him. 4 hole in ones.
Wow, that's great.
That's wild.
I got 1.
Well, I've got 0, so good for him.
I feel like I've taken 15,000 shots at par 3s and I have 1 hole in one.
Yeah, I mean, Joe's got to be pretty good. He's got 4 hole-in-ones. He plays a lot, I know that. But, I mean, that's a lot.
But again, you know, you are getting a reputation, a little bit of a reputation out there.
What?
A number of people have said to me, even people that were up in Nashua I didn't even know they watched the show.
What's that?
And I don't think they're from Nashua. I think they're from other areas like New Jersey, and you know, people come up there to play in this golf tournament. Saying this, is that true that Gio doesn't like top flight golf balls?
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, he's got this whole thing about golf balls, and now he's playing Srixon because Keegan Bradley plays Srixon.
Well, actually, you know the reason why is that you got if you buy two dozen, you got the third dozen free. That's why at West Seville's Pro Shop. If you'd like to go there.
Yeah, but it's also got something to do with Keegan Bradley.
Well, if it was, yeah. I mean, if it was top flight two and a dozen and a third free, I wouldn't get it. But, you know,
yeah, since I'm like saying, you're know, becoming a snob.
A little bit when it comes to that stuff. But I feel like you get judged out there. Someone's like, hey, you see my Kirkland over there? I'm like,
again, you're the one doing the judging. Nobody else is judging.
I don't know about that.
I'm just telling you.
A lot of people out there judging.
And you got to stop worrying about what other people think.
I don't necessarily worry about that, but when it comes to the Kirkland ball, it's just some things you just gotta be above.
Yeah, I think
you play a Kirkland ball.
I don't.
Okay.
Would you? Because both my son and my son-in-law and my best friend gave me golf balls with boompah on the side of it.
Okay. They gave you Kirkland balls with boompah on the side.
I would still play them.
Somehow, when you got those top flight balls sitting over here, they were sat here for 6 months. Three of them. Didn't grab those up.
Yeah, because I have the balls that were given to me. I don't need any more golf balls.
At some point, you're going to run out of them. They're not multiplying. They're not procreating these golf balls.
I'm not thinking that.
He's become
a little elitist with the golf. No question.
He's become
the transformation's complete.
Oh, okay. We just watched this whole thing about me and my buddies at West Saville Public Course playing the back nine at 6 a.m., and I'm an elitist. Get out of here.
Oh, they think you're an elitist.
I'm more. Yeah, but they don't know anything about anything.
You know I'm not an elitist.
And by the way,
I don't know anything about it. They know whip and war.
But they know whip and war.
They know that crap.
Meatball percentage. I think BT leads the world in meatball percentage.
I mean, we know about meatballs.
Yeah, we definitely do.
Yes.
No, and by the way, just to go back to this whole thing, not the club you hit. I was not judging Joe for hitting a driver.
You said he hit a driver.
No, what I meant to say was how hard that is to do. Is one of which was a driver.
The only reason I say that is because I have played with you a number of times, and it will be like 185 yards in
no,
the wind.
No. It has to be over 200.
All right. And I'll say, well, just hit your driver. No. And you're like, I'm not hitting my driver at a par three. Like, it's like there's something wrong with it. Nobody's judging you. The idea
it's
is
not,
to
it's
get
not
the,
the
ball
club in that spot.
Close to the hole.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, was
for
it,
you, for a guy.
No, right. not anymore. It's not.
Okay. Well, back in those days, it was. And again, you had this. Like this, this thing in your head that you couldn't hit a driver on a par three for some reason.
No, you can't. Still can't. Well, unless it's extreme circumstances.
Let me ask you a question. You're playing a 300-yard par three in the U.S. Open. You're hitting driver?
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to be playing in the U.S. Open. Come on.
Some of those professional golfers are. Some are hitting mini drivers. Some are hitting three woods. Some are hitting five irons.
Yeah, it's the U.S. Open. It's extreme, like I said, extreme circumstances, it's fine. Normal circumstances, it's not.
I just think you're a little sensitive when it comes to those things. That's all. And you just got to get over that sensitivity.
Well, how about this? That when we played Bethpage Black and you put it in the bunker with your 5-iron.
Yeah.
And then I grabbed my hybrid. I wasn't afraid to hit that. And then you said, oh, it's going in the bunker too. And it got on the green. Remember that?
Well, it didn't get on the green.
Well, it hit the green. It didn't go in the bunker.
Yeah, but it didn't go on the green. It didn't stay on the green.
Right, exactly, which it just shows you how much harder it is to get them to stay with the bigger clubs, what I was talking about with Joe Beningo. Full circle, bang.
You have some imagination when it comes to golf.
What do you mean? What do you mean imagination? Your ball didn't go in the bunker on that hole?
It did.
Oh,
I came up
short.
Imagine.
I thought you were saying I was imagining.
You know what? Because I was in that rough. That I couldn't see my ankles in.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
For Gio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, Jerry Recco is back.
And he's got another update for us. What's going on, Jerry?
Hi, good morning. We are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Well, everybody's beating the Mets these days. They had an opportunity last night. They did give up a 3-0 lead. They had the tie run at the plate. A couple of guys on. Francisco Lindor at bat against the Braves, down 7-4.
Swing and a bouncing ball right side. Albies to his left gets a big hop. Throws to first in time, and the ball game is over. The Atlanta Braves have made it 2 in a row over the Mets in this 4-game series. They have taken all 5 that have been played between these teams over the last week and a half.
And not ideal, that is for sure. Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
That's the situation that's going on for the Mets. 2 men on, 2 out, and Lindor up and grounds into an, you know, easy out.
Yeah.
3 outs.
Just rolled it over second base.
Yeah, you had a chance. You had a chance to tie it. You had a chance to get some runs, you know, moving the batting order along, and just your best player didn't come through.
Here was Lindor. We need to start figuring this out.
Keep on grinding. Keep on grinding. We got to find a way to beat the team on the other side. That's number one. We have to stay together. We got to fight for each other and just put our hair down and find a way.
Now, same message as last year, he said, by the way.
Yeah.
Same thing. Same thing. When things were bad, he said the same thing.
Got it.
So good
keep
for him.
On.
Yeah,
keep that's on. Exactly grind right. It. Keep on keeping on. Atlanta. So after you got a good 5 innings from Frankie Montas, 5 scoreless in his official Met debut, the bullpen didn't do such a hot job. Brazoban, Castillo, and Garrett gave up 5 runs in the 6th, and then the new guy, Richard Lovelady, gave up a couple of runs in the 8th. Here was
Dickie.
We're getting to that. Here was Carlos Mendoza on Montas.
The ball was coming out well. A heavy sinker, 97, 98 attack. I thought there was some cutters, some shorter sliders.
All of that stuff, and it turned out to be 5 good innings. Here was Montas, who's not here very long, but we know the team's scuffling, having lost 10 of 11. It'll be all right.
Every team, at some point in the year, you know, they go through those stretches that, like, it kind of looked like guys can figure it out. But at the end of the day, I'd rather it happen now than later on in the season, you know, or in the playoffs.
Or never happen at all. That would be nice, too. In terms of pitching, here was Sean Manaea. So he's got the loose body in his arm. So he's going to have a cortisone shot. What does it mean? How big are the bodies? He says they're 7 millimeters, and they do hope. We heard from David Stearns last hour. It seems like the hope would be the first week of July for him to be back, but who knows? We shall see.
Cortisone shots.
Now, you mentioned Dickie. Now, we're not talking about Ari Dickie. We're talking about Lovelady. Here was Gary Cohen going through the whole thing on SNY last night.
Okay, so there was a controversy yesterday. Maybe controversy is too strong a word, but a misunderstanding. All of Richard Lovelady's friends call him Dickie.
Okay.
So when the Mets signed him and brought him to the big leagues yesterday, he consulted with the media relations staff, and they asked him, do you want to be known as Richard or Dickie?
All right, so the ball was in his court, clearly, and this is how he responded.
And so he said, well, everybody calls me Dickie. Call me Dickie. And so the Mets put out a press release saying they'd signed Dickie Lovelady.
Right.
And then there was a response online about the idea of Dickie Lovelady coming to the Mets.
And so, as you can imagine, he then thought better of it.
Richard was not anticipating that kind of reaction.
Really?
So he went back to the media relations staff and said, you guys can call me Dickie, but for
professional,
for informational purposes,
okay,
I'm just still going to be Richard.
Well, you know what he was last night? Sucky. Sucky Lovelady. And you can call him a lot of things if he's not going to pitch better than that. But so that's, so we will call him Richard. His friends will call him Dickie.
I mean, I think we have to call him Dickie constantly now. We can't call him Richard.
He's going
to
be called Dickie something if he doesn't pitch well, as we know. And last night, the bullpen was bad. Clay Holmes.
Basically, welcome to New York. I don't mean the pitching. I mean the discussion that Gary had last night.
Yes.
This is what happens when you come here.
Yeah.
No question.
And I mentioned yesterday, you know, I did see a name worse than Dickie Lovelady, and unfortunately it was a, you know, Fordham women's basketball player.
Yes.
Who transferred to Fordham to be a part of the Lady Stags. Her name is Jalen Sackrider. So, Dickie's safe as far as the most unfortunate name goes in the local area. Because I think that the Sackriders take that trophy. Boomer?
Big what? Sack?
Sports Minute?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's S-A-C-K-R-I-D-E-R, too. It's not
wow, man. It's not W-R-I-G-H-T-E-R.
No, or S-A-C-C. It's straight up Sack Rider.
Sack Rider. What was what is her dad's name?
Ball. I don't.
Sorry, that's LeVar. My bad. Lynn LaMelo.
No, it's not Ball Sack Rider. I don't know. I don't know her father's name.
I mean, that poor guy had to grow up with that name.
Let's just hope it's not Harry.
The Yankees also had a 3-0 lead last night. They were in Cincinnati. They gave it up and then took the lead on a wild pitch in the 11th, but then in the bottom half.
First pitch, line drive over Volpe's head into left center field. Tie ball game. Coming home is McClain, and De La Cruz thought the game was over. He was wandering off the second, looking like he was looking to go celebrate with somebody. Then it all of a sudden he snapped to and realized he is the winning run.
And he became indeed just that. And Gavin Lux, the game-winning RBI single, driving him home. And the Reds beat the Yankees 5-4 in 11. Here is Aaron Judge. The team is not playing well. They've lost 9 of 12. They don't win in extra innings. How do you fix this?
We got to play better. That's it. You know, we're not playing that great. We got to learn from it. We got to move on. We got to turn the page. We got to get to the next one. But now we got a lot of winners in this clubhouse. You guys know how to move on from tough stretches. And, you know, we've done that before. Like I said, you guys asked us the same question last year, and we got to figure it out. It's on us.
Yeah, they're now 45-34. Their lead atop the AL East down to a game. Carlos Rodon, 6 scoreless innings. He allowed just 4 hits, 88 pitchers. He was pitches. He was tired and gassed. So that was he was done for the night. Now, you also had Jazz Chisholm get tossed in this game in the 9th inning. There was a 2-0 pitch that clearly was low. He didn't like it. It was called a strike, and he continued to chirp and chirp as he went on to strike out in the at-bat. When they took the field, he kept barking at the umpire when he finally had enough and threw him out. This is just literally 3 seconds of Aaron Boone not happy with his player.
No, I don't want him getting tossed there. You know, I want me to get tossed there in those situations.
And he tried. He went out and defended him and kind of pushed him away, but Jazz did not let up. Now, the other part of this story and this game was Chase Burns making his major league debut for the Reds, and all he did was strike out the first 5 batters that he faced. Here was Reds manager Terry Francona. How about that?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed, but there was a couple small little adjustments I talked to him about after the. You know, we kind of watched for everything, and he didn't get too excited.
How about that for our?
Yeah. So the Yankees have never seen him.
True. I mean, it's still a kid though going out there, and I don't know. Strikes out the side in the first inning.
Yankee fans are used to that. Like, who's this guy? And then next thing you know, he strikes out 5 in a row.
Fair enough. Tonight you got Max Fried taking on Brady Singer as the Yankees look to right the ship one more time. All right, we've got the NBA draft tonight. The Hawks acquiring Kristaps Porzingis. So I didn't see the exact numbers, but the amount of money with the holiday trade and the Porzingis trade is ridiculous, what they're going to save.
The Celtics, that is.
Yeah, they have to. Holy moly, it's a lot of money. Anyway, so Porzingis to Atlanta. You've got the Nets involved in this. It's a 3-team deal. They get Terrence Mann and Atlanta's first-round draft pick. So the Nets will have picks 8, 19, 22, 26, and 27 in that first-round pick. A couple of former Rutgers guys expected to go in the top 5 at least. Dylan Harper talks about what he will bring to the NBA.
I think a little bit of everything. I mean, just trying to polish my game up because now you get to a level where not everyone is just as good. And you got to really find something that separates you. So just been working on all aspects of my game.
By all accounts, it looks like he'll go to San Antonio number 2 after Cooper Flagg goes to Dallas number 1. And then here was Bailey, how playing at Rutgers and being in the Big Ten got him ready.
Physicality, for sure. I mean, once I got to Rutgers, I mean, I had great vets. I mean, they was bumping. They was pushing. I mean, I feel like I came in. They just pushed me. They ain't getting nothing easy to me. I feel like the name doesn't matter. So they came in. They was pushing me. We had first runs. I feel like my big man, Big E, he set a screen.
Nah, we'll get a little personal there. But, yes, so you'll see there.
Man, Jerry Recco, no, man. He'd be pushing me constantly, getting the best out of me.
Was not that.
You know, he's...
Long thought he would go 3rd.
Wearing those yellow shirts up there. I'd go up there. I'd say, hey, Jerry, what's
love
up,
love that man? Yellow shirt. He could go 4, 5, or 6 now, depending upon how teams view him for not doing those private workouts. Reports say Kyrie Irving will get a 3-year, $119 million deal in Dallas as he will decline his $43 million option for this coming season. Now, how about the idea of getting rid of Nikola Jokic?
What?
No.
Here's Josh Kroenke, the owner of the Nuggets.
Come on.
Talking about how payroll and the salary cap is a major, major issue. He's not saying they're trading him. but he certainly floats the idea of it.
For us as an organization, going into that second apron is not necessarily something that we're scared of. I think that there are rules around it that we needed to be very careful of with our injury history. The wrong person gets injured, and very quickly you're into a scenario where that I never want to have to contemplate, and that's trading number 15.
Yeah,
and
right.
We're very conscious of that.
See, this is why the Mavericks had to trade Luka Doncic, because they were going to end up paying him $345 million. And one of the reasons why the Celtics are shedding salary is because right now the Celtics are right behind the Golden State Warriors in terms of full expenditure this year, $261 million. Almost $262 million. Next year, $272. So you could see with Jaylen Brown and all these different accolades that these players get, they all of a sudden now get these guaranteed exemptions, or not exemptions, extension numbers mm-hmm. that are insane.
Doesn't it go to show it's broken?
It is broken, but, you know, the players run the league. They've all, you know, ever since David Stern basically turned the league over to the players run the league. And, you know, good for them. I mean, they're the ones that are, you know, people come to pay to see, even though their ratings are way down. People are still packing their arenas.
Yeah, and the Warriors paid so much money, you know, over this soft cap with the taxes and all that stuff to win championships. And that's exactly what you want your team to do if they have the opportunity to do it. And they did for many years. I mean, now they're getting crushed because the window is closed, but they were a, you know, a dynasty for a while. So, and some markets can do that, some markets can't. I mean, you'd expect the Knicks to go way above. Expect the Lakers to go way above, but, you know, maybe the Nuggets can't.
So you right now, Golden State is minus $111 million in the hole. That's where they are in this tax apron deal.
Tax apron.
When you think about that, you know, where are the Knicks? The Knicks are minus $75 million.
I've never been able to hear the word apron the same ever since I started watching these like extreme weight loss shows. When guys, you know, lose like 400 pounds, 500 pounds, and then they get the skin surgery and they say they have an apron on their belly, a skin apron.
Poor people.
That they have to get. Yeah, but they're getting healthy. But they have the skin apron that they have to do skin removal surgery. And now I hear apron, all I think is loose skin on an obese person.
How about this? The top three players, Mr. Obese person.
The top three. Trying to get us out of it.
I know, but I'm just saying, the top three players in Golden State make $139 million combined.
Yeah.
On the Phoenix Suns, this may have changed since they moved to Durant, but on this page, $161 million combined. That's three players.
Is there a pulse in there? You guys alive? All I see are four blank eyes.
While you're at it, give me the Pelicans.
Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers with Pat McAfee. Last hour we heard him talk about how he's annoyed with the coverage of him from the media. This is more about football, and you know, he's going to Pittsburgh. He's playing one more year because he wants to.
I didn't need this. You know, I didn't need it at all. I don't feel the need to prove anything to anybody or don't have any chip on my shoulder that I need to hold on to. I don't want the attention. I know that's a narrative out there. When this is all done, you won't. It's Kaiser Sosa. You won't see me. I won't be in the public. I don't want to live a public life.
That's it. He's going to run and hide. We'll never hear from him ever, ever again.
I kind of appreciate that part of it. If but the fact, true. But the fact of the matter, if I were a Steeler fan and I heard that, I'd be like, what?
What? No, they knew exactly.
I need you to have a chip on your shoulder. I want you to lead my team to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but they knew the Steeler fan that didn't want him knew exactly who he was and what they were getting.
Now
at this
they
point.
Heard it, and that was confirmed by this
by him.
Yeah, I mean, and I think Gio said it earlier this morning that you know he was the one that put himself all the way out there with the documentary and coming to the Jets and doing the McAfee show. I mean, let's face it, he gets paid to go on McAfee and has been paid to go on McAfee quite a lot of money. So I don't blame him for doing that.
I mean, if you can't have it both ways. You can't say, don't look into my personal life and then make a documentary showing things in your personal life you want people to know about. Like, you're all in or you're all out. You can't pick and choose. Nobody can.
Well, when he retires, he can pick and choose, and he will, according to him.
Well, yeah, but if he also does a documentary when he's retired, puts more stuff out there, or talks about something on a big platform, and people are still going to follow him around.
And the same guy who killed the Jets for distractions when he is one giant distraction.
He's hypocritical.
He's going Kaiser Sose.
Let's hope.
We'll see. And Matt Martin officially announces his retirement.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We are very fortunate to have a great fan base and listenership to the radio station and this show, and there are certain things that cause more of a stir than others, and I have to say that last week we got quite the stir when we introduced the audience to big intern Zach, not only on CBS Sports Network, but also we took a picture afterwards that certainly went viral of Zach standing next to us and how much bigger, there it is right there, how much bigger Zach is than both Boomer and I. And, you know, when it was photographed, I guess standing next to you and getting to know you now, you don't feel that big to me anymore, maybe at first. But then seeing that picture, I was like, that is just wild how that came out. And people were going crazy, reaching out to me all over the country. My buddy in Philadelphia, my buddy in Pittsburgh. It was crazy. I can't imagine the reaction that you got, Zach.
Yeah, no. I mean, people pulled up my NCAA recruiting profile that hasn't been touched since junior year. People tagged Coach Darren DeVries of Indiana saying, like, get this man on the team. Someone called me Zach Edey.
Nice.
Someone called me White Shaq, which
made
my brother die laughing.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Well, that was great. I mean, like, and that's why when I first saw you, I tagged you as Big Intern. I didn't know who you were, anything about you. But now that you become a viral sensation, I'm thinking that, you know, anybody sliding into your DMs that we need to know about?
No, not currently.
Nothing.
That's too bad. Really? Okay.
Well, do they know your full name, though, I guess, is the whole thing. Do you want to put that out there?
Do you want people sliding into your DMs? Would you like a woman to slide into your DMs?
I mean, it's welcome.
Okay,
it's definitely welcome.
All right, so then what are your social media handles?
I actually don't know them off the top of my head.
Come on, Zach. Jeez, that's a giant head, too. Like, you would think there would be a lot of stuff that you could fit on the top of your head.
Yeah, there should be a lot of stuff up there.
Yeah, so.
Pull out your phone and let us know then. Come on,
Zach. You know, you can lead a big guy to water, but you can't make him slurp it, huh? My God. So, big intern, Zach, who. You did stop playing basketball, though. You just wanted to go in a different direction because not every giant man can play basketball. And you were okay, you said. Your brother was better, but
yeah,
you were...
I was okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to overinflate anything. I was okay.
Yeah, okay.
You know, my brother was definitely the better player. He also just had the body to play Division III ball.
Right.
Well, you got the body.
You're enormous.
I was a 6'6" big. That doesn't really translate well to college.
Oh, that's when
that
seven
was
foot
that.
Six.
Now, seven now foot it's six totally
big.
Different.
You said 6'6", 7'6" big.
19'3" big.
Yeah, 19'3". Big. I mean, you're trying to make yourself smaller. Yeah, it's not going to work. Everybody's going to see it here on CBS Sports.
They can see it. They can see how much bigger you are than
right. 7'6" big. Yes. Is what your social media handles there?
Yes, Instagram is zpav33.
There you go. All right. So if you are a
Zpav, P-A-V?
P-A-V.
Zpav33. So if you are a young lady out there who likes a large man.
Tall drink of water.
Tall
baby.
Drink of water. He's got his head on straight. Not one of these Gen Z wuss bags.
Seems like he wants to work hard. He's a good kid. Your uncle, he sent us an X post on your behalf. Like, we're supposed to hire you now just because you're big.
Well, no, not just, hey, not just because he's big. The guy does a nice job here. I mean, we had him, he actually made that golf.com documentary as well because he was helping me out with the text message. Okay. I mean, the guy's becoming a star. I hear from everybody out here that he's, you know, keeps his head down, he works hard. So, yeah, he's a large, large man, but that doesn't mean that just because he's large we should hire him, you know?
All right. Yeah. I mean, get help the WFAN basketball team.
Yeah, if we still had that, for sure.
I mean, yeah, my job here is to just make your guys' job easier. So, I mean, anything I could do to help, I'll
Can you go out and get us breakfast this morning?
Don't. Man. Yeah, you could probably go to the front of the line anywhere you want to go, right?
I'll make sure I get the cream cheese and the butter.
Oh, yeah. See? Oh, look at this.
On top of it.
He knows exactly what's going on. Hey, were you at Fanatics Fest? I heard there's some people recognizing you.
Yeah,
there.
I was there. I was there on Sunday.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Were you working or were you just there to have a good
time?
Yeah,
no, I was working.
Okay.
A couple people. Yeah, no, it's it was...
Couple people right from the one time you're on the show, and on people were coming up to you.
I know.
I mean, look, this is a new world for you, man.
I know. It feels very weird.
You're getting recognized in public. And everybody probably thought you were a pro basketball player when you're at Fanatics Fest,
I
right?
I would think so.
Yeah. Oh, I love this transformation, Zach. Yes. It really is wonderful to see. So, all right, so other than, like, you know, getting women, what else are you going to do with your newfound fame? Do you think that you can parlay this into anything else?
Probably get some TV appearances.
Okay.
You know.
Right. Some other TV appearances. You know, all right, very good.
Probably some Inside the NBA, you know. Shaq. Let's have Shaq and White Shaq. Let's go.
Yeah, well, with Shaq and White Shaq.
Will you be watching the NBA draft tonight?
Yes.
You will be.
Yep.
I mean,
are you a Knicks fan or a Nets fan?
I'm a Knicks fan.
Oh, thank God. Okay, good. I would kick you right out of here.
Do you have any idea who the Knicks should hire as their next head coach?
I wanted Mike Malone.
Okay.
Because the championship pedigree, and, you know, he's kind of similar to Tibbs. But, you know, now kind of thinking about it, I have no idea. But, you know, Mike Malone, especially because of the championship, that's the main thing for me. I mean,
he's from Astoria, too, for God's sakes. Yeah. Got Knicks ties to the organization. Obviously, there's someone who doesn't like him.
He is so young, but I guess you've been a Knicks fan your whole life, right?
Yes.
So you've seen the worst of the Knicks.
Oh, I've seen garbage.
Yes, you have seen garbage. But now, the last 3 years, it's gotten better.
Yeah.
What year were you born?
2005.
Oh, my God. Oh. That is the year I started here. That is wild. You were a baby when I walked in here as an intern, when Sid Rosenberg let me in the office. You know who Sid Rosenberg is?
Not off the top of my head.
Good. So, yeah, it was, that's 20 years, that's going to be 20 years ago in September. Oh, my God.
What was that?
Jeez.
That was, yeah, this is what happens. It's work in the building, but it can be very loud. And
it's very heavy work in the building.
Yeah, disconcerting. That was one of the louder ones.
Yes.
That was like a bunker buster right there. That was a loud one. Well, Zach, if there's anything else we can do for you, we are here for you, and we appreciate you being a great sport. About all of this, I know you've been dealing with this height thing your entire life, and now it's really out there for everybody to consume. But, yeah, I mean, what size shoe do you wear? I heard someone told me it was an 18 or a 19.
Yes, yeah, it's 18.
18, wow, 18 size shoe. Man, that is just crazy. Can you get?
Amazing.
Do they sell at regular stores? I don't think so, right?
No, I got to get in custom.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can get them anywhere online now.
Yeah.
You just put your shoe size in, boom, they got something.
Yeah. All right, very good, Zach. I appreciate it, and we'll see you soon. And if anybody wants to follow Zach, the big intern on social media, it's Zach Pav.
ZPav33.
ZPav33. All right, very good. It is.
Okay. All right, ZPav.
ZPav. See you, ZPav.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.